out of all flesh, and there is nothing, nothing too difficult for you. We thank you that we are continually being conformed into the image of your Son, being transitioned from one kingdom to the other, and we just step into that place right now. Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that they would be enlightened, that we would hear with spiritual ears and see with spiritual eyes what you have for us today, Lord. And I thank you for confirming two or three times that this is the message for us today. So I bless your name, Jesus. I bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been in 2 Peter 1 for about a month. And you know, when you stay in a portion of scripture, you know, the Holy Spirit opens up your understanding and illuminates what he wants to say about it and what revelation he wants to bring to your own new creation, your own inner man, about that word, so that you can be changed. Right? That's what the cross is about, isn't it? It's about us changing. And we can't change ourselves, can we? But the Word of God, the living, breathing Jesus that lives inside of us, is the one that rises up. He's the morning star. He's the day star. He rises in victory so we can walk in newness of life. This message is about becoming a partaker of the divine nature. The new creation can partake of the divine nature. I was blessed what you shared, Lori, because partaking has to do with eating and drinking. It has to do with receiving. It has to do with coming into alignment. It has to do with saying yes to Jesus and believing that what his word says is true. And I'll share a little bit more in that definition later on. But our purpose is to become partakers of the divine nature. That's what we were created for from the beginning of time. Adam and Eve were created to walk in the cool of the evening in the garden with God. And they decided to disobey him. And, you know, plan A, which was Jesus coming and rescuing them. And he rescues us, doesn't he? I'm not the same person that I was when I met Jesus on the beach. I am a different person. And I change all the time. The more of the word comes into me, the stronger I become in the spirit realm. I started off having like a little house, and now I have a castle with water and streams and cascading waterfalls. My kingdom, his kingdom in me, is huge, and it's beautiful. So God wants us to be partakers of the divine nature and to walk through the entrance that has been made for us. He's made an entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:19 says that Jesus is a light that shines in the dark place. What's the dark place? The light shines in the dark place and illuminates that darkness, and the day star continues to rise. The more the word comes in, the more we say yes to Jesus, the more that morning star rises. I'll give you an example. I had planted over 150 daylilies on the side of our property over here when we had the house completely done, redone, and the yard, and there was no flowers left. And you know, a few would come up one year. I don't know how many years it's been, but last year there was like such a small amount. I said, I think the rabbit came in, or a mole, and ate all the bulbs, because there was none. Very few. And I was annoyed because I spent money and bought all these bulbs. I was looking forward to seeing the flowers, and they weren't there. So what happened was, a couple weeks ago, the neighbor comes over. I lives on this side. He said, you know, we're going to chop down those pine trees over there because they're really ugly and they're useless. And, you know, this way we can see you. Because they have a driveway. Our driveways meet. So he told my husband, he said, oh, that would be fine. Now, we have been praying for them to do that for a couple of years. Because all these pine needles fall down. We got to clean them up. And, you know, so I will tell you, that the entire side of my lawn, because that blockade was removed, which was 4 or 5 huge pine trees, the sun comes in from the street and illuminates that whole portion of our yard, and there are, what, 50, 60, 70 lilies growing on the side, and every day more in different colors. I said, oh, I forgot about that one the first time I planted. That's what happens. That's what happens when the light comes in. There's more light. So Lord, send more light.
Amen.
Lord, send more light. So 2 Peter 1:21 talks about a movement of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is pharaoh, which also describes when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. In the book of Acts, they talk about when the Holy Spirit came. That word pharaoh is also when Jesus was transfigured on the mount. Now, he took Peter, James, and John with him, and they met Moses and Elijah on that mountain. Do you believe that? So something happened on that mountain. Peter was gloriously changed, and I think he's the one that said, oh, let's build 3 tabernacles here for us, and then 3 for you and Moses and Elijah. But what happened on that mount is that the prophetic word that came forth from the Old Testament, all of those scriptures, were fulfilled, because God came, sent a voice from heaven. He heard the excellent glory from heaven. Peter changed his life. And when we hear that excellent voice from heaven in our hearts, it changes our lives as well. He heard that excellent glory say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So that just puts cement on my house, puts cement on the fact that all of the Old Testament prophetic word leads up to Jesus. And in the New Testament, Jesus comes into our hearts. And we don't have to necessarily read the word, but we do, because the Holy Spirit illuminates the word. Jesus is the living Logos. And he also brings us, when we're reading the Logos, he brings us into an understanding and alignment with a rhema word. For whatever our situation is, we need answers, don't we? We have problems, don't we? We need to hear from the Holy Spirit and get direction and guidance for where we are. These people that wrote the Old Testament and the New Testament, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were not men writing words. They were moved and anointed by the Holy Spirit himself. So when we read this word, this is like God speaking directly to us. And you can take everything that's in this Bible as truth, because it is. Paul wrote a testimony to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1:14. Paul was the extra added disciple who didn't really see Jesus with the 12 or the 13, but he had a divine supernatural experience as well with the Holy Spirit on the road to Damascus. He absolutely got knocked down by the power and the anointing of God and was changed, completely changed and blinded. If you read the account, you'll see that the other people that were there did not see the same thing that he saw. They did not experience the same thing that he experienced. They didn't even hear what he heard. I remember when God spoke to me very clearly. I was not even walking with them. He, in an order, I thought everybody heard what he said to me. And what he said was like, what God has brought together, let no man put asunder. So that was the end of that. Any musings that I had in my mind that I might have been happier without my husband were put on the cross. We both were making a lot of mistakes, and I didn't even understand it. I just said, I know that was you, God. So that put that all to rest and to death. So Paul wrote this testimony for his son in the faith, Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:14, this is what he said to Timothy. Timothy's his disciple, right? So what he said was, the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of our Lord actually, in reality, flowed out super abundantly and beyond measure for me, accompanied by faith and love that are to be realized in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, not Buddha, not Mohammed, not Waka Waka over in the left quadrant. Jesus Christ is the door. It's realized in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1, which is what I'm talking from. Simon Peter was one of the disciples, the original disciples, and he wrote this book to believers. The three books are absolutely amazing, but I happen to really have fallen in love with the second chapter, and I'm going to teach from there. He just says, I'm writing this to you, the first verse. Second verse, grace and peace be multiplied. I've been praying this over all of you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Not grace and peace be multiplied to you that you would be rich and prosper. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. God never promised that he was going to make us rich or free of troubles. Matter of fact, he said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So what is he saying? Step into my realm. I overcame the world. Step into who I am and get what you need to take care of where you are. That's what he does. He's done it for us so many times. And we have such a beautiful, peaceful home. One of the things that Nancy said when she came, I love her. She hasn't been in my home for 20 years. But what she said was, there's such rest in this home. Not just peace, but rest. She slept completely for two nights. She had not slept since her husband passed. She had not slept one night. She was wandering and all kinds of things, and she slept like she couldn't believe that she slept and got up and came down. Wow, this place is amazing, she said. But you know what? It took both of us making a commitment so long ago to walk with Jesus to now have this place. And I see it. I understand it. It's Jesus. It's his presence. So what Simon was speaking to us and to the believers that he was training at the time, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God. Amen. So you need to know exactly what does the word say about this, not what does, preacher so-and-so or sister, but what does the word say? If I come and sit with you, I will tell you what the word says. I will pray with you what the word says and believe that God will bring that to pass, because that's who he is. He is a restorer of past dwelling. So what is grace? Divine favor, his loving kindness in our reality. In the Amplified, which I am speaking most of this out of the Amplified, I happen to love the Amplified version. Peace is defined as perfect well-being. Only when everything is going well. Perfect well-being. Only when I'm completely healthy and have no pain. No. Well-being only when my floors are clean. Always serene confidence. All necessary good. I like that one. All necessary good. So we do have good, that's necessary for us, right? All spiritual prosperity. Whoa! All spiritual prosperity. This is only one verse. Freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. Now, how does that happen? Only when the King of Peace is reigning on your heart. Only when the King of Peace is reigning on your heart. Are we going to wrestle with them? Yes. Hebrews 10:29 talks about the spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace. You know that I shared with you God gives me a word every year, and this January, past January, it was embrace grace. So, of course, everywhere I go, he's talking to me about what grace is, and it's his presence. His grace, his ability to give us what we need at the moment that we need it. So, Peter was excited because he saw the prophetic voice. He heard the prophetic voice. He acknowledged and was an eyewitness to the Lord's majesty. When you see his majesty, you cannot complain. When you see his majesty, you can do nothing else but thank him and fall on your face and be grateful to the Lord for his abundant blessings and his love. So who we are becoming, who we are now, is linked with our future destiny and identity. Our identity is in our transformation as the new creation in God in Christ. And Holy Spirit is the voice of God that supports our journey. So say, Holy Spirit, will you read the word with me? Good morning, Holy Spirit. I need you. Pastor Roy and I prayed and cried out to God all the way here about how much we need God, how much we need the Holy Spirit, how much we are indebted to the Lord and what he did for our hearts. And it came out in the worship because that's what we need. We need more of God. And we can have more of God wherever we are. We can have more of him because it's an eternal kingdom, right? And when we are, when our bodies are ready to get put in the ground, we just step into over the threshold into the new place, a better place with a new body. A new body. Oh, that'd be nice. Anyway, so I just want to share the next few verses from 2 Peter 1:3. Now, what is he saying? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, according to his divine power. Whose divine power? Mine? No. According to his divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through getting everything right. No. Through the knowledge, full personal knowledge of him. He that has called us to glory and virtue. Virtue is excellence. Now here, four. Whereby are given to us, through this, because of his divine power, has been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. So what are those great and precious promises? The entire Old and New Testament is filled with all of the great and precious promises that God has given us. So according, because we received these great and precious promises, it says, that by these what? By these great and precious promises, you might become a partaker of the divine nature. Is it by you? No. By what? The great and precious promises, according to his divine power, in that moment that you want to cut that guy off and curses may fly out of your mind, but not out of your mouth. They don't even come. They're just like here. Oh, no. They don't even come near my brain because I had the mind of Christ. So it's something to be worked towards and for. There's a promise in here that is so amazing. I mean, I have studied this portion of scripture before and even preached on it years ago, but there's so much more in here that's so amazing. There's a place which says, and I'll tell you, we're coming to it, that if you do all of these things, you will not fall. You will not stumble. You will not fall. You will not stumble. That's what it says. That's the truth of God. You will not fall and you will not stumble if you do these things. If you enter into this process of becoming a new creation, receiving his divine power and believing his promises. Yes and amen, all of them are. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of definitions. Diligence. I've been asking the Lord to open up diligence because it's in this portion of scripture a number of times, and I'm going to give you a definition of it. Constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Persistent exertion of body or mind. Carefulness and long-term effort. Long-term effort. In our case, it has to do with us turning to God. Turning to God. It's not about building a cabin or a deck or washing the dishes or making a meal. It's about turning to God and believing. That's what our effort is. Long-term effort, because we have an enemy inside of us that wants to win, right? And then we have an enemy outside of us that wants to win. And there are wicked people in this world that want to win. We have a parade on July 4th on Eaton's Neck. We've been living up there for 45 years, married for 45 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God is in this group of people that do this parade. They pray. I mean, in prayers, they were praying for the country and praying for us and the community. It was so beautiful. There are Americans who are walking in liberty because they have sought his precepts. There are Americans who are praying for the country, who are in agreement with me that God will change the focus of the people in America to God, even initially. So that I appreciate. I'm going to say three E's. Employ every effort. Employ every effort of your being to partake of the divine nature. To understand that the divine power is within you to overcome every with love. Partake means to eat or drink, to join in, to engage in, or become involved in. I was reading the Passion Bible, and there was a few, talk about being a companion to the divine nature. I like that. God has sent his cascading river, and I heard you, Dave, and I saw it because that's the vision the Lord gave me, that the entrance that is opened for me is like a cascading river before God choreographs my triumphant entrance into his kingdom, and that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Pastor Roy and I will continue to awaken you, even though you've heard, some of you know, many of you have heard these truths and you're walking in them, but we will continue to awaken you to it again and again and again so you can walk and have the best life that God is. What I used to tell my kids, you want me to train you, you want me to spank you, you want me to speak the word over you and discipline you, because I want you to have the best life that you could possibly have on this earth. That's why I'm training you. That's why I'm teaching you. That's why I'm bringing you to church and letting you hear what the word of God says. So we need to be diligent to submit and flow with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of the Godhead, which is in us, which is outside of us. He is in here. If you are born again, he's in here. We need to follow him, submit to the process, Galatians 2:20. Does somebody have Galatians 2:20 memorized? I want to stand up and say it out loud. Galatians 2:20, anybody? Yes? No? What? I am crucified with Christ. Yeah, that's close enough. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith in and of the Son of God. His faith is in my heart. I live my life in and of the faith of the Son of God, who loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And you love me. My husband is amazing. He is such a servant. He serves me even when I'm not so nice. He still serves me. And he says, you know, you weren't very nice to me. Me? I'm always not. No, I'm not. We give each other a lot of space to grow. Okay. God wants us to move into that crucifixion. Oh, wow. Crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, living, breathing, Holy Spirit-inspired grace, so that we can display his glory. One of the authors that I study all the time, he talks about the fame of Jesus. And I tell you the truth, I went when I first heard it, but he says it all the time. And I'm like, but I finally understand. When I talk about Jesus and my life is displayed before people that I am a living example of the blessings of God, Jesus' fame is seen and known. Everyone in my neighborhood that has met me knows that Jesus is my Lord. So his fame, and we want to make him more famous by our lives being more of a display of his miraculous glory and truth and overcoming passion in every situation we find ourselves in. So I'm going to give you two more definitions and then we're going to move into the word again. Develop. Exercise. What happens when you exercise? You develop, right? What'd you say?
You get exhausted.
Yes. That's one of those things you have to say yes to. Okay, I'm getting on my trampoline. I don't care. I'm doing it now, today. Yes. Exercise means use or apply, employ, utilize, make use of a faculty, a right, or a process. We exercise the process of what? Transformation. Within that process, we exercise. What do we exercise? We exercise our faith. What we believe, we attach ourselves. We're tethered to what we believe. Develop, grow, and become more mature by going through a process of successive stages. Disclose, bring into existence, advance, unfold, arise, emerge. I love these. Erupt. Change into a more advanced, larger, or stronger form. Something bigger, usually over a period of time. And that's our new creation, right? Okay. The fifth verse in 2 Peter 1. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises. For what very reason? Whereby we are given exceeding great and precious promises. And by these we become partakers of the divine nature. So we have to exercise and develop our faith toward the promises and believe them. Employ every effort, three E's, employ every effort. Okay, I'm going to read the next portion of the scripture, which is 5-7. Exercises your faith, exercising your faith to develop virtue. You exercise your faith to develop virtue. You exercise virtue to develop knowledge. You exercise knowledge to develop self-control. You exercise self-control to develop steadfastness. You exercise steadfastness to develop godliness. You exercise godliness to develop brotherly affection. You exercise brotherly affection to develop Christian love. So what is the end result of all of this exercising and developing? You want to look more like Jesus and act more like Jesus and partake his divine nature and whatever. Sometimes I really marvel that I'm not responding the way I might have at one point because God has changed me so. And sometimes I just marvel. So in these adding to your faith, the excellence, there's an unfolding, and emerging of that new creation. These are things that we can memorize and we can say, Lord, help me to exercise this because I want to develop this. Help me. It's also known as the author of the Passion Bible. He talks about it as a ladder of faith. Starts with faith, and then you add these things. So if Christians say, oh, once saved, always saved, I don't have to do anything. I'm just, yeah, well, so they'll make it to heaven, but they'll be all the way out here. I want to be on his lap. Plus, I want to experience heaven here. Here. Okay, 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the end result? We want Christian love and we want to know Jesus. We want to know about Jesus. We want to know who he is. We want to know what he would do in a situation, which is why you read the scriptures, because you see who God is and his character becomes reality to you. The 9th verse, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Oh, there it is again. What does diligence mean? Oh, diligence. Back here. Diligence. Constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Persistent exertion. Employ every effort. There's your 3 E's. Employ every effort right out of the scripture. Grace and mercy be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, oh, there it is, you will never fall. I love that. I love that. I loved it when I saw it the first time, and I love it now. You will never fall. If you do these things, you will never fall. What things? Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection. These are things that we need to exercise like muscles. You know, if we exercise, our muscles hopefully will get stronger. You do it long enough and often enough and diligently enough. So we want to not fall, do we? We do not want to fall, do we? No, but when we fall, God loves us the same and still pours his blessings out on us. So what is the calling that you want to be diligent to make sure that it's in place? It's a calling to come to Christ. The calling is just to come to Christ. And your election is unconditionally being chosen to be saved by God himself. I think that's pretty good. I've been elected by God himself to be saved. Isn't that pretty amazing? So that's my calling and election. That's yours too. Who he is and who we are in our identity. Transformational conformity into the image of the living Christ. Our inheritance is his kingdom and his love. And if you are not seeing it or not feeling, keep walking towards it, because that other stuff is going to fall off. That's what happens. You just keep walking that narrow road and all that stuff just falls off, because we have an upward call to receive the prize. The high calling of God. It's a high calling of God. So here, okay. The 11th verse. I love the 11th verse. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance into the abundant kingdom? What? What? He's given you an entrance. He's the door. Walk through the door into the everlasting kingdom. If you don't know what heaven looks like, look it up in the Old Testament. Look it up in the New Testament. The Old Testament prophets had visions and dreams of the heavenly places in the kingdom. Revelation speaks about what the kingdom looks like. You need to see. In Hebrews it says, come up, we come to a living place, Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai. We come to a living, breathing place. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We can step through the door, through the entrance, which is Jesus' blood. He was a veil that was torn. His life was torn. The curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. No man could do that. That's what Jesus does. He does things that no man can do. Whatever impossible situation you find yourself in, He has the power to bring you out of it. He'll reach his hand down and pull you out of that mud.
Yes, Lord.
He will, in the greatest and the least. I just want to end this. I just want to share some of the warnings that are in 2 Peter. Because, you know, Noah was spared. Noah and his sons were spared. But all the rest of them got drowned. They were mocking him, not believing in God, doing whatever they wanted. Same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot got rescued, but Sodom and Gomorrah, dead. His wife turned back to look. Pillar of salt. God is a God of hope. He's a God of all flesh. He's also a judging God. He cannot tolerate sin. I heard it two or three times in the testimonies. God is cleaning up our acts. He's coming in and he's saying, Pastor Marie, that is not good. Get rid of that. Okay. Help me, Lord. Help! Sometimes, Pastor, when I walk around that, help! Help! I hear him in the back room, help! Anyway, you know what? We rely on God. We do. We rely on God. We do. And we didn't always, but we both do. And God has forgiven me. 2 Peter 3, 13 to 14. I wanted to tell you that I just want to remind you that the day of the Lord is coming. There was a time I remember being affiliated with this one ministry, and they sang over and over again, these are the days of Elijah, and the day of the terrible day of the Lord is coming. If there's revival in your heart, you are going to be thinking about the day of the Lord, that great and terrible day when he comes, and his second coming when he returns. It's not going to be good for the wicked. There you go. Not going to be good for the wicked. It's going to be good for us. Because we're going to get caught up. If you believe in the rapture, we're going to get caught up. If you just believe in the coming of the Lord to come forth in us and with us, and we'll meet him in the air, in the parousia, which is what we believe. And not that I don't believe in the rapture, but I believe that Jesus is here right now wanting to fill me so that I can live a holy life now and not wait till he comes. People are waiting. Oh, they're waiting for Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, anything specific? You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Don't go to sleep. Be sober. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Recognize those who labor among you. See that no one renders evil for evil. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do not quench your spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test what is good. Abstain from evil. And this is the one I was looking for. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. Amen. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Even when you're in the midst of that pattern of sin, that pattern of behavior, in the midst of it, cry out to God, and he will come. You may not be able to stop the motion at that moment, but the next time it comes, see, he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, right? Jesus said, I know how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So, I remember when I was trying to quit smoking so many years ago, and I was so guilty and sad, and I couldn't stop. And this beautiful woman of God said to me, smoke to the glory of God. I said, what? Yeah. Smoke to the glory of God. So every time I took it, I said, Lord, I'm doing this to the glory, to your glory, Lord. And, you know, with about a week, I couldn't smoke anymore. Because you, whatever you do, even in your midst of sin, you say, I'm doing this to the glory of God. Because God is there. He sees you and he knows you and he loves you and he wants to deliver you out of that motion of sin. Romans 6, 7, and 8, start in 5, end up with the Holy Spirit filling you. So it took 2 weeks for me to just begin to praise and worship God every time I had a physical desire for the addiction that has to do with smoking and all the things that, you know, matches and lighters and ashtrays and going outside. And I was like, what am I going to do with all this time, Lord? But, you know, the Lord gave me a lot of things to do with all that time. It took 2 weeks of me just worshiping God every time I felt tempted. Every time I wanted to have a cigarette, I said, praise you, Jesus. Which is part of the reason why I am such a praiser today. Because for 2 weeks, every second, all I did was praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. After 2 weeks, it was gone. Never smoked another cigarette. Totally gone. Finished. To the glory of God. 2 Peter 3:13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, whose promise? God's promise. God's amazing promise. The whole book is his promise. Look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent. Oh, there it is again. Employ every effort. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, free from agitating passions and moral conflicts. And fear, no fear here. Yes. Fear is an enemy, it's a spirit. Not yours, not mine. You want to be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. The only way we can be blameless is in Christ. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. Don't take that sin lightly. Don't take that thing lightly. Kill it. Bring it to the cross and let him kill it. Stop. Lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. I know people who walk holy lives before the king and walked away. You don't want to be found amongst them. No. You do not want to be walking away from the Lord, because he's your life. Amen. Do not want to be led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. I am done. Amen. Father, we thank you. 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 And we praise you. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the cascading rivers of life. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree, Father. We want to be like trees. You be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. And whatever he does shall prosper. Father, whatever we do will prosper. We answer the upward call to walk on your holy, narrow way. Lord, I lift up every soul today here, all of those who are not here, Lord, all those who are going to listen online to these words of life. I pray, Father, for a divine encounter with the holy living Jesus, the living God. He's the only one that changes hearts and lives. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.